This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Governor Scott Walker is unveiling Wisconsin's newest biennial budget next week. But this week, he's been giving residents a sneak preview, unveiling different aspects of the bill. One piece is funding the UW system, which has drawn praise and criticism over proposals to cut $300 million and to make the system a public authority. Here today to talk about what the proposals could mean for UW-La Crosse are UWL Chancellor Joe Gao, UWL political scientist Joe Heim, and UWL Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. Thank you all for being here today in what's been quite a busy week for probably all of you. First, I should probably mention that at this point in time, these are just proposals. The legislature still has to debate the budget. They still have to pass the budget. But, you know, Chancellor Gao, at this point in time, when we hear that $300 million could be cut from the system, $12 million potentially for UWL, what exactly does this mean?
Well, yeah, you're correct. It is a proposal. Now, those of us who have watched these things in the past, and certainly Joe Heim has more experience in that than any of us, know that a big portion of what the governor proposes typically does make it into the budget. So, you know, you have to take this seriously, and this is the starting point. And so we are trying to educate people on what implications it would have for the UW system and our campus in particular.
And Joe Heim, I mean, this plays into Wisconsin's facing a $2 billion shortfall, and $300 million is just a portion of that.
Yeah, the two billion, you have to know roughly $1 billion of that are proposed increases by state agencies, and you have to assume that they aren't going to get all that they want. The cost to continue, in other words, to run the state government exactly like it was the last 2 years, is roughly $1 billion. So that's the part that would increase the $300 million actually comes out of that, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. In other words, those are the real amounts that the governor has to make up and the legislature has to make up.
So at this point in time, when you think about $12 million, what are you looking at? I mean, I know that there was probably some sort of sense that cuts could be on the way, but Chancellor Gao, I mean, what could be cut?
Well, 86% of the budget at UWL is in compensation. We're a very people-centered enterprise. And so obviously, if things are really bad, then we've got to look at positions. And, you know, I've made a commitment, and the leadership team has, we don't want to lay anybody off. That'd be a real last resort because everybody we have is essential. But there are some areas where there are vacancies, where there are open positions, and we're going to look real hard at those and say, are there ways that we can get by, particularly over the next 2 years, either without those or at a reconfigured way?
I mean, are these faculty and staff positions that are open that you would just
There are all kinds of positions. Yeah. And you know, I think the thing that people forget is we are a little city here. We're not a one-room schoolhouse. And, you know, so instruction is our primary activity, but we also house and feed and have to take care of 3,300 students on campus. So, you know, that means we have plumbers and electricians and painters and locksmiths and people that plow snow and make food and, all kinds of things. So, I mean, we really need to look at our whole enterprise and say, where are the places that we have the most flexibility? But I can tell you, because these budget reductions are not new to us, I mean, they've really been happening for the past 10 to 15 years, we're a pretty lean operation. There is not a lot of, so-called fat that's easy to take out.
But when I've talked with some staff on campus, there is some fear that their jobs will be cut. So how do you ensure that, UWL doesn't have to bring on any layoffs?
Well, the student experience is the top priority. We can't compromise that. And, the faculty piece is huge there. So I think that is very secure in this thing. You know, I hope that really the dialogue we're going to have is, does this need to happen? You know, and I realize that the governor and the legislators, they want to keep tuition frozen. That's something they made a commitment to do. That'll be 4 years. That's a long time. But do we really need to have a $300 million cut in this state support for UW system. I mean, that's historic. I mean, we've had some big reductions, and they've come from both parties, I mean, under Governor Doyle and Governor Walker. But I think we're moving into territory here that's new, and that I think it's really time to take a good look at that. You know, we're still at an early stage in this process. The governor does have time between now and Tuesday to rethink that number, and certainly the legislators in the Assembly and Senate will have an opportunity. So one would hope that we're not looking at any kind of layoffs or position reductions or anything that's going to compromise quality for students.
Joe Heim, I want to ask you, are the cuts needed?
Some cuts are absolutely necessary. I don't mean with the university necessarily, but when you have a real deficit of roughly $1 billion, the legislature has to address that. And frankly, throw in the fact that the governor talked about further tax cuts, particularly property taxes, it's going to be very difficult to deliver that without some kind of substantial cuts. So, and the fact that the university is somewhat self-funded, we become a target for cuts, frankly. Although, in any type of a fight like this, it's, you know, if our cuts are less than $300 billion, that means somebody else's are more.
And Brad Seebach, I'm curious, what are you hearing from faculty in regards to the budget issue?
Extreme concern. We do not know how the university might possibly handle the size of these particular cuts without affecting the jobs of individuals who are here, but at least as importantly, the hopes that we have for what this institution can become. So we are always thinking about the quality of instruction and the interaction with the students. And there isn't, I don't think there's an individual on campus here in a faculty or staff teaching position who isn't thinking primarily about that and what they wish to do in order to improve that experience. So how do you do that in a circumstance where we have continuing cuts in the budget? You know, if you take a look at average faculty and staff here, I think the great majority probably are people who have come on in the last 12 years and have known nothing but cuts every time we come back to the budget cycle. And that's an extremely depressing fact to place against hopes and dreams for improvement.
So as Chancellor Gowa had talked about, you know, first and foremost, we can look at not filling open positions. And I'm sure there are number of open faculty positions. How does keeping those and maybe faculty levels lower, how does that impact the education that students are getting in different programs?
So how do these cuts affect?
Well, just not filling these open positions.
Oh, well, there is a process of continual reinvention on the academic side of the university where we try to adapt to what's happening in society around us. And I think that can be said for every single field where we have programs on the campus. So what you do if you make it impossible to fill positions as vacancies occur or to expand in areas to address new interests, new advances in sciences or social sciences or humanities, any of those, is you make the university less relevant to the world of today. And you make us less able to adapt in the way our students most need.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about proposed cuts to the UW system. My guests are UWL Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach, UWL Political Scientist Joe Heim, and UWL Chancellor Joe Gao. Joe Heim, I want to ask you about some comments that have been made by lawmakers just regarding the way that faculty are using or maybe not using their time, however you interpret it. Yesterday, Governor Walker said that faculty should maybe just teach more classes. We've heard Speaker Robin Voss say that maybe they should focus their research on research that benefits Wisconsin's economy. Is this anything that we've heard from lawmakers in the past?
It's a little different. I've not heard that type of a criticism, frankly, especially the research stuff in a long, long time, not least publicly. But these things have an effect on morale. And that is one of the concerns when Brad was talking about faculty in general. This reminded me a little bit of the Act 10. The governor, by the way, talked about this as being the Act 10 for the UW system. And that caught my attention, frankly. One of the results of Act 10, which people don't measure very well, is the morale of the teachers in the state of Wisconsin. Would you want to go into K-12 education after Act 10? Many people retired after that, and they lost huge numbers of high-quality people. I'd be concerned about morale on the campuses in the UW system, frankly. If you've got a perceived attack on research, an attack on not doing enough work, and you're sort of telling people to start teaching extra classes, and then you talk about budget cuts, it's not a very positive environment for maintaining professors to keeping here. If you had a job potential for in Illinois and you're going to stay in Wisconsin, or you're going to go to Illinois, under these circumstances, you might very well move to a safer environment. If you're trying to recruit somebody into Wisconsin, and already their salaries are roughly 20% below their peers across the country, and you say, well, we're going to teach five classes here instead of four, or some, you know what I mean, increased workload, and then you're going to be criticized for your research if it isn't relevant to Wisconsin. Is this where you'd want to come? Those are morale issues and recruitment issues. We are a national university that recruits nationally. And both directions, you know, input and output, shall we say. You wonder what this is going to do. If this becomes a morale issue with faculty, I don't see a positive outcome of this.
Brad, maybe just backing up for people who don't understand a typical day in the life of a faculty member, can you explain what it is that faculty members do?
Well, I think what most people assume is that we spend most of our time in the classroom. And I have to say, we do spend a lot of time in the classroom. But because of the level of education that we are at, we spend more time working with students outside of the classroom than we do inside of the classroom. Also, there is a very large amount of time that we spend in adapting the materials so that they are up to date year to year in the classes that we are teaching. So there is a much greater amount of time spent on ensuring the quality of the education, the personal interaction that students need for career advancement, figuring out what they want to do with their own lives in the positions that we are in.
And Chancellor Gao, I'm curious, just as, you know, the key figure, the head of the university, you know, you're going to be very involved in finding these cuts. But as Joe Heim mentioned, there's also a sense that we need to maintain morale. How do you find that balance and walk and try to make everyone happy?
Well, I think that those comments about what faculty do and maybe what people want them to do are very unfortunate. They're uninformed. You know, we're going to have to educate legislators in particular, some people out in the public, that as Brad has said, you know, it's a full day and night all week when you're a faculty member. And so I the thing that I'm worried most about on that is it's really, frankly, kind of a distraction. And I think that the core issue is this massive defunding of higher education. And, you know, I don't want the conversation to go somewhere else. I think the real issue is on the finances. And actually, we're seeing in some of the headlines today and stories that the governor is indicating he is open to rethinking this big cut. I have my phone here
right now.
I can see some of these stories. And, you know, here's one. Let's see.
So then there could be a potential that the cuts may not be as large as $300 million.
I don't know.
I guess we'll all find out on Tuesday
Governor
night.
Governor Walker opened to negotiating UW system funding cut. You know, so I hope we don't lose sight of that. I can assure you one of the things that my jaw kind of dropped in reading some of the comments was that, you know, under the public authority, chancellors would be authorized to force faculty to you know, take on this extra course. I would not do that. You know, I've come out of an academic tradition. I taught for 18 years. I know how hard it is. I know what the right teaching load is. And I think my colleagues feel the same way. So, you know, I don't think you can, you know, sort of undo hundreds of years of what we've established in academia with, you know, just by kind of making comments. I do think, though, on the funding side, legislators can vote to undo many years of solid funding, and I think that's what's been happening. And this latest proposal is, you know, sort of the ultimate in this. And so we've got to really stay focused on it and convince the governor to rethink the size of the cut.
Brad?
If I could just jump in on that, I think one of the things that you would do if you tried to increase the number of classroom hours that instructors had on campus is that you would lose the ability for most faculty to have a significant research program. And the research program in almost all circumstances, involves a significant number of our undergraduates who are being prepared to go on using that research into their own fields. It also is what keeps us as faculty on top of the most current understandings in the field. So I think that if you required people to, on average, increase by a lecture period or whatever it might be, a class, the amount of time they spend in the classroom, you're going to lose quality in the end product, and that certainly is not what we want, the end product being our students being preparedness for the world after college.
Joe Heim?
I thought that responded was pretty good.
So when we look at the $12 million cuts that could come to UW La Crosse, you know, you look at staffing first. Where else can you find the cuts beyond staffing, especially if you don't want to cut jobs, if you don't want to fill positions? Where else can the savings come from?
Well, we can do, you know, I mean, there are budgets for supplies, there are budgets for equipment. You know, you can cut those back. I mean, you can... there are always apparently vacancies in our custodial area, you know, so we wouldn't clean rooms as often. Now, I mean, you know, it's just sort of, you know, that old phrase, death by a thousand cuts. I mean, there are these little things that maybe it's not the end of the world, but it does compromise what we're providing, and we certainly don't want to have to do that. Another strategy would be to grow the enrollment. Now, we're kind of limited there. We're a small campus, smallest campus in the system, 110 acres.
And there's already a housing shortage.
Yeah, we have a housing shortage. We need another residence hall. We're bounded by a historic cemetery, an elementary school, a nice historic neighborhood. I don't think we're going to be able to grow out of our footprint too much. So, you know, there's only so many options we have.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about proposed cuts to the UW system. My guests are UWL Chancellor Joe Gao, UWL Political Scientist Joe Heim, and UWL Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach. Let's jump into the idea that was put forward this week that the UW system could become a public authority. Joe Heim, as our resident historian, can you explain what exactly is a public authority in the state of Wisconsin, first and foremost?
It's an interesting category. There are eight of them in the state of Wisconsin. If you look at an organization chart of Wisconsin, and look, right now we are essentially an independent agency run by a part-time board under the control of the governor. So we are technically under the control of the governor. The word authority, if you look at a chart of the organization of the state of Wisconsin, they are not under the direct control of the governor. They're set aside as separate corporations, and that's the term that they use. So these are separate corporations that have specific purposes designed by, in this case, education. The Wisconsin Hospitals, for example, University Hospitals is one of them. WEDIC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, is another one. Those are the two most widely known. The part that caught my attention, however, as I was reading through this, is that there's independent. There's a lot of independence relative. So the advantage of the authority is that you have less control, less micromanagement by the legislature, more authority, more autonomy. But it also mentioned that they are primarily self-funded. Boy, that got my attention. Because if you have a university system that is self-funded, we all know what that means. Essentially, it means pretty much a privatized university system. Is that where we're headed? I hope not. I don't think so. But that's what an authority is, basically.
So what much would change if the UW system did become a little more privatized, I guess?
Well, I think tuition would certainly go up. If that's your primary source of funding, along with grants and things of that sort, without state support, and that's sort of, frankly, the direction we've been headed. We used to get roughly 15% of the state financing. We're now down below 10. I think we're closer to 7%. So we've been losing budget share for a long time.
I talked with Board of Regents President Michael Falbo this week, and I asked him about the funding issue. And, you know, he talked about how eventually they could raise tuition. They want to look towards philanthropy, if this does end up going through, look towards philanthropy. And from what I understand, there would be a fund set up that is similar to the transportation fund in the state, where sales taxes would help fund the university also. Now, when you look at the philanthropy side, probably for a school like UW-Madison, that could work out wonderfully. But you wonder with UW-La Crosse, maybe a school like UW-River Falls, and how different that could be. Chancellor Gao?
Well, you're right on the mark. Some campuses, most notably Madison, you know, actually the state share there is really small. The biggest share of their funding comes from federal contracts and grants. And then philanthropy, they have a foundation that raises over $330 million a year, even in recessionary times. So, I mean, they would have some options that a campus like ours wouldn't have. I want to stress, for us, the two big drivers of support are the state appropriation and tuition. And as Joe Heim has said, you know, we have seen the state support has gone down, tuition has gone up. I don't know that under this public authority we would be, you know, sort of purely privatized in the way that a true private school where there's no state support. There is that idea that you've talked about a fund that comes through sales taxes and is increased, I guess, by the cost
with
of living.
Yeah.
Inflationary increases. The challenge on it is what's the level of funding there? And I believe I may have this wrong, but under the governor's proposal, it would be this new minus $300 million for the system. And I believe that is the lowest level of support since 1998. So we would be—
In this upcoming biennial
yeah.
budget?
Okay. So hypothetically, we would be starting out under a public authority with, you know, a pretty small, modest amount of state support. And then as you've heard, you know, well, then tuition would have to be used to offset it. And I that's where I'm skeptical that legislators are really willing to go there, because they seem now like they really enjoy this kind of role of we're going to, you know, protect the students from the administration of the university that wants to raise tuition all the time. And I need to remind people, we would prefer not to raise tuition. We would prefer there was not tuition at all, you know, K-12, that we had a society and a state that had a commitment to providing everybody with a college education. Unfortunately, that is not the case. And so we do see this kind of back and forth on state support, tuition. But at some level, I hope people would acknowledge you can't provide an excellent education, you know, for free. I mean, we've got great faculty and staff. They work very hard. They're there for students. We already are paying them 18% below the average at peer institutions. And, it's amazing our people hang in there and keep delivering for us. This year we won our third Wisconsin Professor of the Year in just 4 years. That's extraordinary. So we have some very talented people here. So, you know, you have to get the funding in place to pay for that. And that means we have to have a realistic conversation about what it costs to provide a higher education and who pays for that and how much of that is the students pay directly and how much state support, wherever that is coming from, a sales tax or the way we do it now, is provided.
Joe Heim, so would, if this became a public authority, essentially UW system would get much less state funding than it does at this point in time?
It appears like that less money would continue.
Okay.
You know, I'm a skeptic about the source of revenues. Setting a state money aside as a trust fund, and it comes from a select amount of sales tax with automatic increases, this stuff could all be changed 2 years from now. These are statutory changes that the legislature could simply alter very quickly and very easily. So I don't see much. Frankly, if you compare to the transportation fund, that's been eaten up often over the years. So it's not a sacred amount of money. So it's no different, frankly. I'm a skeptic of that. The source of revenue, you could say whatever you want to say about it, but it's not that significantly different from what we're presently getting in terms of source of revenue and the ability for the legislature and the governor to change it.
One thing I've heard from faculty and staff over these last couple weeks as I've been talking with people about these issues is if the UW system became a public authority, what it would mean for shared governance. And Brad Seebach, I know this is something that you've been thinking quite a bit about, and especially as leading the Faculty Senate on campus. What are you thinking about with this? I understand that, you know, it could be eliminated from the state law, but the Board of Regents could create their own form of shared governance.
We're certainly hoping that the Board of Regents will put forward policy that would take the place of Chapter 36 in state statutes and give us a give us, as part of their policy, a role for shared governance, both for faculty and for students and for staff, all groups, that would continue much as it is. I think most people outside of the university setting probably don't have much an appreciation for what shared governance actually accomplishes, but either of my fellows here at the table could probably tell you what that role has been in their experience, but faculty governance in particular is providing oversight of curriculum matters, of matters related to promotion and salary for individuals on campus. We are taking a look at and trying to help people who are disadvantaged, whether it's students or faculty or staff, any of those. I think there is really an essential role here for governance from all of these different groups that should be maintained.
Joe Heim, did you want to add anything about this?
Sure. Comment on that, because I'm one of the reasons I'm in the UW system is because of shared governance. I've always thought it was a sacred thing that the university has. It's very unique. It works well. I've never heard chancellors criticize it, frankly. They generally support it and like it. Now, I will say this, although it could substantially be altered, and that's what the concern is. Students are very upset about this. Faculty are concerned about it. But the president,
because students are a part of shared governance as
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone has their roles in it to play. But President Ray Cross this morning, I heard him on radio talking about the fact that the tenure in shared governance will not be altered, that under this new structure, that the regents will protect it. Mike Falbo, the president of the region, said the same thing. And the vice president of the board said the same thing. So I think the commitment, the region commitment is still strong for tenure and shared governance. And that reassured me quite a bit, frankly. And they more or less said it was a big, major part of the way universities operate.
Chancellor Gao?
I agree. I have heard the same kinds of things, and I know that all the chancellors feel the same way. And, you know, to give a sort of example, maybe more specific of what Brad was talking about, you know, think about, if somebody says to me, why do I need to take that biology class? I don't know. I'm not the expert in biology. The faculty in biology, that's what they are trained and thoroughly educated and have committed their life to, is what's the best curriculum for biology? What's the best curriculum for general education? I mean, these are things that I think would be just unthinkable to take out of the hands of faculty who that's what we want them to be doing. The other thing I think that, given the conversations I've heard, one of the things that has motivated this interest in, shared governance, you know, the critics say, well, it takes too long. And one of the things I've heard is, you know, the chancellor searches, for example, they're so open and participatory with students, faculty, and staff that we can't get candidates, top-notch people, and we saw this with and here I am, so you got me. But the recent searches at Milwaukee and Madison, there were people that said, "Well, gee, there were no sitting presidents or chancellors in the finalist pool," and that's because people don't like this very open participatory process. They don't want to be known that they're out there. Okay, well, if you change that and said, well, somehow we're going to do this in secret and we're not going to involve the faculty, the students, the staff, you know, I can speak from experience. When I came to UWL 8 years ago, they vetted me very thoroughly and there were other candidates. And at the end of that, they said, he's the one that we want. And so I came into this position knowing that I had the full confidence of the people in the institution. I think if you did that in a way that it kind of came from secret, as somebody coming into the job, I would feel, gee, I don't know, is this going to work? You know, so I think we have to be very careful on these issues. And, tampering with shared governance or tenure, workload, I mean, these are things that are well established, not only in the UW system, but in universities around the country and the world. And I don't think we're doing it right now.
I want to play another comment from President Cross before we take a quick break and get your reactions to it, because I think it seems to be his just general thought process and how he's interpreting a lot of these conversations that are going on within the legislature and how the UW system works with them. So go ahead and take a
listen. One of the problems we have, and we will often use this phrase, is the legislature trying to micromanage the university. And I would argue that the legislature doesn't necessarily know how to do anything other than try to control us at this point. You should be doing this. Why is this happening? What's going on here? In some ways, all of those phrases reflect public perceptions, public issues, and they're merely echoing that. What I'm trying to do is say to the legislature, you have to stop trying to control us, and you have to try to hold us accountable. Those are two different things. Give us the outcomes you think are important. Let us work toward those outcomes.
Joe Heim, can I get your quick response on that before we take a quick break?
Well, that's sort of reassuring. Ray Cross is, I think he's a very fine manager of the UW system. And he works well with the legislature. He's probably the best at politics down at the Capitol of any president in my lifetime. Because that's, I have to think back a little on that. but basically, he understands legislators, and I think he talks about it. There is an element of micromanaging once in a while. There's no doubt about it. But in balance, for the most part, it's more have to do with accountability. The university is extraordinarily accountable. Every year, they put out an accountability report. Every campus puts out an accountability report. We are extraordinarily accountable given the amount of state tax dollars that we get. That's my impression of it anyway. And frankly, that openness is important in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm a fan of that.
And we'll talk more about some ideas that President Cross has after a quick break. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking with UW political scientist Joe Heim, UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao, and UW La Crosse Associate Professor of Biology and Faculty Senate Chair Brad Seebach about proposed changes to the UW system. To hear our audio archives of today's show, visit our website at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.